Okay, once again, Perek it up. The paragraph that begins Heskes and Shema. Yeah, but means you're being Heskes and Shema. Okay. That means pay attention. Wake up. We're all paying attention? Yeah. Okay, so let's get a little done over here today. The Heskes and Shema. Ke'ev alei v'hasmadas bakashoscha. What we spoke about last week of a person saying and knowing that he has to try to be keeping a consistency for himself, trying to, when he wants to grow in Avodas Hashem, to know that we call it the constant vigilance. The person needs to know that he not only needs to work, but he also needs to want. He has to like constantly dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, say, I want to make sure that I'm always going to growing more and doing better, and thank you, and all of that. So he says that the idea of having a tinge of pain in your heart, saying, I'm not where I want to be. The idea of a person being consistent in his bakashos from Hashem, of saying, please Hashem, you know, Hashem, you know, take me to a higher place and let me get stronger and stronger. Bashkafascha, all that is dependent upon your outlook. How does a person view himself and his role in the world, etc.? Meaning, for example, Ha'ashir Shinis Roshesh. Let's say you have an example of a person who used to be wealthy and he becomes a rash. He becomes destitute. Something happens and boom, right? And the things go kaput. Things get messed up for the guy. And I think I mentioned to you once. I was speaking to a parent of a Talmud, someone I knew very well, very close Talmud, and he was telling me that after the whole like that Madoff thing. In took place a couple of years ago in the States, which really, really, really damaged a lot of people. It's a horrible story. So this person had told me that in one day he lost $25 million. In one day, right? So a person, when that happens to a guy, and he says, like, you know, whatever, wouldn't mind it, right? I guess whatever. Like the thing he had one or two left afterwards also, but that's obviously a big flaw. So let's say I have a person who's wealthy, and boom, he becomes destitute. Kozman shashkafaso atzmo ka'al ashir. If the person looks at himself as, I'm a guy who really is an usher. V'choshev, and he thinks, hello, usher, hineini. He said, listen, I'm really like be'etzem, a wealthy guy. Lom ashir mecherem yeshem rav tuv. Why do the other ashirim have everything, abundances of good? V'lom amikodem gam hu v'chobeso ha yurachavim u'nagim. And he knows, by him, like before this, before today, before whatever took place, me and everyone in my household, we were all living in excess. We were all indulging and enjoying ourselves. Oz dagas libo kashem. That person then is going to feel a concern, a worry inside of his heart. He's going to say, you know what? I got to get back to where it was before. I don't want to make do with. I don't want to become complacent with the state that I'm in right now. That person is not going to stop looking for ways to be able to go back to being rich again. That's what he's going to do. If he replaces his wealthy outlook that he had initially, and now he starts to say, hey, you know what? I guess I've always wanted to be one of those guys who walks around shul with his hands like this, collecting quarters from people on Sunday morning. Hey, you know, this is like fun to travel from Beis Knesset to Beis Knesset, knock on doors. If he starts to look at himself like an ani and says, you know what? Yeah, I guess, you know, things are over. Well, then Ozlo Yidog, he's not going to be so concerned about himself anymore. He's not even going to look for ways to go back to being wealthy, because the guy became complacent. This is the way it is. You know what? So I get used to the fact that we don't really have food during the week. We're this, that, the next thing. Maybe chicken Shabbos and Allah, whatever it is. And that's the way. And that's the way things are. So he gave up. It's over for him. For sure, that person, even when he's looking at himself like an ani, is going to give himself the proverbial bracha. He should be zoch in the lottery one time. Maybe he should find some golden or something or some diamond laying in the street. He goes, buys the fish, and says, maybe I'll be the next guy in that famous story that finds, you know, a big precious stone in the belly of a fish and on Erev Yom Kippur, and I'm going to be wealthy also. He's heard all the stories about the Mashalma, the king who sends the guy to the desert island with a suitcase to pick up diamonds in the street. Hey, you know what? That should be me also. But at the end of the day, in his mind, he might be fantasizing and conjuring up all these imageries of wealth, but in his mind, in his heart, he's not really paying, and he's not really doing anything to change the situation. He'll be happy right now if he gets himself some burnt bread and a quote-unquote pretty apartment in somebody's dark and damp and hot and stuffy basement. So, in other words, if I have a roof on my head, great. So all of a sudden, his hasagos and his aspirations become very, very low for himself because he gave up. Because in his mind, he said, you know what? It's not really shayach to have anymore. So, with those mashalim, he says, Cain, kol atzmacha talui bashkafascha mahu Yisrael. Your hashkafos and your life is going to depend on how do you view what it means to be a Jew. What is a member of Klal Yisrael? What am I supposed to be? The amat sarach atalagia. And if you start to think what it is that you're supposed to be trying to accomplish, where are you supposed to get to? Yodei atakvar zos, you already know basically the answers. The kvar dibarami zewi, we spoke about this. But gamma ani shehechleves hashkafos lashkafa ani, but even if you were my example before, the poor person who, the prior rich person who now switched his gears in his mind and said, you know what, like, I guess, fine, this is the way it is, and I'm going to live like this. So that person is still zocher as osher. That person still remembers what it was like to be wealthy. And he's still giving himself the bracha, saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if I could become wealthy? But, but since it's just something intellectual, in my mind I know that, oh, this could be, but belibo kfar lo kavua, but it's not entrenched and affirmed in his heart that this is the way it has to be, and this is the way it's going to be. Ubetochi yuso, and inside of himself, in his inner place, hashkafa acheres al atmanim. So he really is thinking of himself in a totally different way. Lo yidag v'lo yivakish v'lo yishtada limso shuv es oshro. He's not going to be so concerned. He's not really going to be trying to regain that wealth. And the truth is, he's even going to be lazy in terms of the amount of work and business that he actually tries to accomplish, because he says to himself, listen, it's not going to happen anyway. So what do you want? What do you want me to do? So that's why, at the end of almost a year of Chavas HaTzemidim, we have to remind ourselves that it's not enough just to know intellectually, oh, I read in a book and it sounded inspirational that I could become a great person, I could be a Talmud Chacham, I can be a Tzaddik, I can be someone who's looked at as a Gadol in many of the areas that the Torah wants us to become. That's not enough. We have to know that. But Hashem Amar, the Ribbono Shel Olam, tells us, Anochi tirgalti le'Ephraim kachem al zro osav. Hashem says, I've walked Ephraim, a reference to the Jews, and I took them in my arms. Avarachaman, our merciful Father, is mishtokek lakaches, is called Ish Yisrael al yedei neviyot elav. Hashem really wants, he yearns to be able to take the Jews to him. About tzrichem lahargil es nefesh atoa, we have to try to acclimate our lost souls, because ben hanidach begeshem olam, and those sons who have gone off and gotten confused in the physicality of the world, we have to be reminded, lashuv laleches al aviv, to remind yourself to go back and walk towards our Father, v'likfos el zro'oso kevyachon, to jump into his outstretched arms, waiting for us to grow. V'anochi tirgalti l'Ephraim kachem al zro'oso. Repeating, the pasuk says, I was margil, I acclimated, I took Ephraim to me, and I grabbed him in my arms. Hashem margil osano. Hashem wants to acclimate us. Begam onutrin, he wants to become rugged, he wants to become accustomed to us. Begam onutrichem lahargil es etzmeno. But then we also have to try, obviously, to acclimate ourselves, to get used to being with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's read a little more, then I want to talk out some of the ideas. Emor mayata. So let's say now like this. Emunascha b'Hashem lo te'tumuna u'mesuseres b'cha. We would like that our emuna in Hashem. We believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but that shouldn't be something that's hidden and locked up inside of us. Rak berura v'chazaka. That emuna should be clear. It should be something that's strong, that we actually live our life with a sense of emuna. Zochor al tishkach. Hizor v'hasmin b'zeh. We have to be careful, not forget, and constantly be concerned about this. Shereshem nelocha el ve'el ben perikteh, shekam epom en b'yom tachshav shereshem yizbarach melok chal aritz kvod. Like we learned in the previous parak, a person has to be thinking throughout the day, yes, I believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is here with me throughout the day, everywhere I go. V'tomin atenim, so the fun of yizbarach. And we have to remember and remind ourselves, they're always found standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'prat b'shos ha'pinuyos tosef lachshav zos, certainly in our free time, we have to be thinking about that a little more. And why do you have to frivolize and terrorize your mind with stupidity? Why not, instead of like thinking about the sports game that I was dreaming about, or whatever else it might be, some movie or some stupidity that's going on in the world. So let's get ourselves used to thinking about, even if it's not holding in the middle of a sugya, which, you know, Baruch Hashem, right now, most of us actually can do. But even if that's not, to at least think about thoughts of Amunah, something as simple as looking at the trees and saying, oh, I believe that God is moving the wind, that's moving the trees, that's doing something, there's a plan, right? Simple little observations about the world that can be mechazik ourselves. So why not do those things? The more you add those kinds of thoughts to your life, tisraga be amuna, you're going to be so used to having amuna at shalotia ke amuna and love and medias. It's not just going to be the hidden thing anymore. Right, yedia vadas v'raya brura ve'isan. You're going to know this clearly with a strong sense of proof and commitment. Yedia yosef brura lachem yedias l'shem shemayir. You can get to a level where that's clearer to you than your emuna that there's a sun out there that's giving light. Kizos Torah say so, because that's really what a Jew is. That we all have that. Afa devotion lemaila misichlo, the things that appear to be higher than our intellect, but b'midah shemar b'lachva b'lachshavo son, the more we think about it and say, this is the way it is, I know and I trust and I believe and I'm committed to that, v'daos v'chazakos nasoslo, they become strong, they become convincing to him, and yosim in a devarim sharoba, and even more than the things that a person is actually seeing and viewing with his eyes. Let's just take a moment just to explain out a little bit, or speak out a little bit more of some of the things we just read before we get to sidetrack. And again, most of it should be sort of self-explanatory, but at the same time, very important, to make sure to pinpoint certain points over here. So let's use a slightly different mashal. So I was just checking. I thought he says that, I recall that he brings this mashal somewhere, but it's not over here. So let's just speak it out anyway, right now. You know what a redneck is?
Redneck.
Guys in that south, is that? A hillbilly. Is it really the same thing? Exactly the same. Redneck is something more like redneck than hillbilly.
A truck driver.
Hillbilly is more racist than a redneck. Really? Okay. I have no idea. I don't know.
West Virginia.
What was that?
West Virginia.
Okay. I mean, wait, they have them all over. They have them upstate New York. They're like all over the place. If you get around a little bit. Okay. You know what it is, though, right? You know what I'm talking about? Bubba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the not like Bubba Mitzia, not your Bubby, but Bubba, the guy with like the flannel shirt and the coveralls and
the guy who says America.
Pickup truck. The door isn't open. You got to jump through the window.
Was
that?
Yeah, President Bush.
Was in a trailer park.
Yeah.
Those guys. Okay. So let's imagine for a second. Yeah, that's the problem. Okay, now, let's imagine for a second that you have I guess according to Mickey, I'm going to say more politically correct, the redneck, not the hillbilly, don't be racist, but the redneck. Yeah, that sounds much worse to me, but the...
There is a difference.
I thought the difference, what do you think the difference is?
No, I know there is a difference, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that there is a difference.
You're not holding, you're saying?
Like a redneck is for sure like southern, and like a hick is like more... West
area, like in the Midwest area, and up north, from like upstate. He'd be
a hick, like down south, like
Atlanta,
Louisiana.
Okay, whatever. With those guys, okay, I'm just gonna. I like saying right. We'll check this out. So now, you have like you're like a redneck whose life is very. Like until his whole existence, from the time he's been born, right, till he grows up and matures in his redneckness, has been very limited in exposure, right? And in terms of like what he aspires to in life is not all that major. Now, some might argue that what I'm saying right now is as racist and bad as as assuming that when white man comes to Africa and tries to bring intelligence and enlightenment and society and civilization to African tribes, that like I might have looked at that and said that was like a good thing, you're trying to help those poor savages, but yet others might have said, like, you know, I like living in whatever, I live in mud things, we like disease, we like being like not intellectual, we like walking on loincloths or whatever they do, like we like, you know, dying young, we're into all that, we're into all that stuff, we like stabbing each other with spears and like rings in our nose, like I'm like totally okay with those things. So the question of is it really nice and fair to try to be makariv people that are less fortunate than us, maybe is a source of debate. I'm not the biggest of liberals in the world, so I would have said that Adarav, you try to help all like those guys out there, and if you can send, again, I'm not necessarily, I'm not the Pope, you know, sending people out to get eaten alive in Africa, but the idea, right, that you have certain people who left alone, right, as is, default mode, are not going to dream about all that much more than that which they've been exposed. So this is the stage that I live my life on, this is where I'm coming from, this is the way things are, and that's the way things are going to be as well. Again, if you're from New York, you're familiar a little bit more with like those neighborhoods, like in like the bad parts of Brooklyn or the like the South Bronx kind of places where, like, you know, you don't start your car at the red light, where there's like a lot of like windows that don't have glass. I told you, I remember when my wife was driving, she used to work in a hospital down one of those places, one of the scary places. And she was coming home one night, and a police car pulled up, and she was stopped at the light at the corner. And a police car drove up and said, "You know, you can't stop at lights here. Just keep on going." Like, don't even, like, okay, fine, boom. And like a little scary thing. And I was once driving with a group of friends. We're going to the Crown Heights. We're going to go to one of those, you know, Chabad things that the Rebbe Shlita, that's whatever his name is, used to give. And so just to chat with other, you know, little, I guess, you know, yeshiva shabbatala. And so the car in front of me stops at a light. And I didn't know this because I wasn't yet married. I didn't know that the policeman was going to tell my wife in like 10 years that she shouldn't stop at a light. So he was stopped at a light. And the car in front of us, the you know what Traditions is? So the guy who owned Traditions is the driver of the car in front of me, Scott Finnegan, a good old good friend, stops the car, and I'm in the car behind, and all of a sudden I see like his window roll down, and I leaned out the window, and it's clearly said something. A group of like three of like those guys, like the, like what do they call it, you know, the Street Monkeys, had started to walk out like to the car, and we're saying like, oh my god, this is like whatever, like weren't sure, just back up, get away, how do you like whatever it was, and I can handle this. This looked like it was gonna be horrible. It turned out there were three people who worked in his like catering thing and whatever it was. Like, he actually recognized them. Like, he just called them over to say hi, which is definitely random and unexpected. But you have people who grow up in the world and just assume, right, that like because I was born in this neighborhood with this set of circumstances, that's just, there's no hope and there's no way I'm possibly ever going to change anything and get out of here. Right? Rare is a person growing up in a neighborhood like that. The person growing up in a neighborhood that really like believes, oh, someday I'm going to be, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, a PhD, and someday, like, forget about like Frumkai for a second, just even just in regular material terms. Someday I'm going to be, you know, a college graduate who's going to have like a real job and whatever it is. And again, oftentimes, like a crime and drug trafficking, you know, basketball is like the highest thing a person might ever think that he's going to get to. The same thing is true, like we start with the rednecks, right? They're not, like, you don't really, they don't, no one's like looking to say, hey, you know what, maybe if you can offer me something like good to drink or something good to eat, like it's not going to be the things that we would look at as like just like really good or whatever. But, like certain things, like we might like want to vomit if we saw it put on a plate in front of us. What was that? Yeah. What was that? Good job. Yeah, that's how I wouldn't call like a good thing we want to eat either, right? But sometimes like things are just like in a whole different asaga than we would ever. And that's the way it is. Like we have like frames of references, you know, based on the world that we live in. Lag BaOmer. So, like I told you, I had like this like little like weird like little story where like someone had hooked me up like whatever. I took a little like helicopter ride on Lag BaOmer in between Yerushalayim and Ben Gurion Airport, and so the person whose helicopter had been who was getting dropped off back, the whole like little like crazy story, whatever it was, And one of these, like, something, you know, whatever, whatever, I'll leave out the story. But kids, I had to sort of do somebody a favor, but I got flown back from the airport after the thing. So the person gets to get to the airport. Now, I never knew that, like, you know, you go to the airport, like, you're all going to go to the airport soon, so how long do you want to get to the thing before, like, 2 hours, 3 hours, or something like that, right? So the timing, the way this is working out, the person getting to the airport like 15 minutes before the plane is going to take off. And so I made like the comment of like, you know, it doesn't work, you're going to miss the plane. I got, of course, like the smile back, say, no, like the way like we do it, like the way we check in, there's like a whole other, it's not even in the same terminal everyone else goes to. There's like this other little like VIP place, they drive you up, you don't even touch your bags, you just like walk straight on the airport, they check everything, is like nothing, like whatever it is. The plane takes off at 12 o'clock, you get there like 11:59, that's it, just walk up, the seat's waiting for you. So that was like, hey, well, like I thought it's cool that I'm like the platinum something, like wait on the quick line and I get a nice seat on the plane. And this is like, hey, wait a second, where are these guys coming from? So I would have never thought in a million years that there's like a whole other world of airports that go on, because we're not exposed and we don't. It did sound tempting, I gotta admit. It did sound tempting. Yes, it was much easier to fly home from Ben Gurion to Telstone than to drive home. And it really was. It was unbelievable. I had to drive someone else later. I took one of my kids up who missed the last bus, like a dope, like whatever it was. And at like 1:30, you get a call. Hey, Abby, can you come pick me up? I'm standing on Shmuel and Avi. They're like, sure, that's exactly what I want to do. And then when I'm driving back, I say, this is so like, stinks compared to just flying over this whole thing like I did like an hour ago. It's like, come on, this is like ridiculous. Who wants to drive a car if you can fly? But there's a whole other world, right? A whole other world that goes on out there. But we don't have, it's incredibly important to realize this, that we are all faced with the problem that we don't really believe for ourselves that there's a different plane, a different sphere that people can function in. And it's a very, very important, thing to realize. He gives the example of the usher who lost all the money. That example is very, very important, because be'etzim, without totally spelling out what we're trying to drill home to ourselves, is that a Jew, someone who's a ben Torah, has within him a moreshet, a whole heritage, a whole system, a whole ability to really become somebody incredibly, incredibly hot, sublime, a tzaddik, someone who's a kadosh, someone who's a Torah, someone who's a Yirei Shamayim, someone who's a Talmud Chacham. All those things are accessible by any single person out there. The difference between the people who actually do it and the people who don't is a very, very simple thing. As he said at the beginning of the paragraph, it's all up to our own hashkafas. How do we view ourselves? What's my outlook? If my outlook is like, that's just the way it is, like I'm just going to be one of like the little people in the world, so then that is what's going to happen. And a person says to himself, there's no reason why that should be like that. Why can't I be someone who's a gadol? And again, I will make it clear in case I haven't said this enough times tonight, so I'm saying it again. A gadol doesn't just mean the gadol batorah, the person who knows shas backward and forwards. A gadol, to be somebody great, is a gadol in any area of avodas Hashem. A person who's an intense davener, who davens, he's like mamish, feeling like he's having a total sense of devekas and hoyden. A gadol in chesed, a gadol in tzedakah, a gadol, of course, in learning, a gadol in mid. There's so many things that a person can become great in this world, and for many people, unfortunately, that's just not the way things. Not the way things are. The Chazon Ish had a very, very famous but also biting criticism of a certain group of people, a certain political organization within the Jewish community, and which I'll leave out the name for the sake of the recorders right now. And so the Chazon Ish had said that the biggest problem with blank, with them, with that group, is that they created an ideal out of mediocrity. In other words, they said being mediocre, being like okay, like in the middle, a regular, that's like okay, and that's what we aspire to. When a person starts doing that, then the emes is like the places that they're going to, the place they're going to push to be able to get to, are going to start going lower and lower and lower and lower. A couple of comment stories, anecdotes about that point, just to try to drill it home a little bit more. Number one, let's start with the Maisa from the Gra. Go back in time a little bit. Now, I'm using the Gra because the Gra really was somebody that, when we hear about the Gra, like he was different. Let's call a spade a spade. Most people, when they're born into the world, like I always say, have a body, arms and legs, and like whatever it is. The Gra, when he came out of his mother's womb, it was like a pulsating brain on the little table. That's all it was. The Gra was like so different. When he finished Shas, by the time he's 3 years old for the first time, that's like a little different than everyone else that's out there in the world. We agree with them, right? So we're not necessarily saying, oh, I'm going to be the grog, because when we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's fair to say, but I'm already, like, just totally not, and fine. I'm not going to be in the next, you know, the next couple of years, certainly not by the end of Shana Bet. And but at the same time, there was someone who came to the grog once. It was a great thing. The person says to the grog, you know, we weren't cheder together when we were younger. We started off in the same class and the same everything. I was smarter than you were smart. And he goes, so like, how come? Why was it right that you became the great Gra, the Gaon of Vilna, and I became whoever it was? So the Gra said, well, you know the Chazal, the Gemara Chagiga that says it's Eino Dome Shona Pirka Meyapam and the Shona Pirka Meyapam of Achas. I'll say you can't compare someone who chazers 100 times to a person who chazers 101 times. Okay, that should be a little more meaningful to us right now also. After this week. So the Gra said to the person, well, do you believe that? And the guy says, of course, it's a chazal. That's the way it is. So the Gra says back, so that's the difference between me and you. I didn't believe it. I tried it. Yichab? In other words, what the Gra was saying to the person was, like just do it, right? Get out there and you give it a shot. See what can be and see what's going to happen. It's a very, very, very important lesson that's there. A person has to be able to think in bigger terms and believe that he can actually accomplish something in order to actually make it and get to where he's going to be. Again, we've heard stories about whichever, you know, pick your gadol that fits that mold. But we all know in theory that that's happening. At the same time, right? There might be one or two of us sitting around the table or behind the table. Okay, who might say, oh, this all sounds nice and it all sounds inspirational, it's all beautiful, yada, 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 but something along the lines of, give me a break. Like, that's not that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. And that's exactly the attitude that we're trying to address over here, right? The idea of trying to gain an exalted hashkafa, a powerful sense of self-confidence, a belief that, you know what, but I can. I actually, if I set my mind to it, you know what, I can do something. There's probably no better time out of the year for us to talk about this than following the coming off of the week plus that we just experienced right now, where people, by and large, like push themselves to do things that they hadn't been doing up until now, to be learning with more of an intensity, to be taking on prakim or blat of Gemara areas and Shulchan Aruch, what are called different parts. So I got to tell you, I was very, very impressed. I really mean this with every lushan of compliment that's possible. There was a mistake on the Chumash test that I made, and what was the mistake? So I asked you to tell me the Rashi about three of the animals that the Nesiim brought as karbanos, right? And in one of them, I made a mistake. I meant to write the question about a par, a keves, and an ayil. So there's a Rashi that says par, keves, and ayil were keneged, a ram, yitzhak, and yat. Easy little thing. So by accident, I left out the par, and I did an ayil, a keves, and a soya. So kemad, everybody, just about everybody, had got the Yitzhak and Yaakov part, and the Sar was Keneged and Mechiras Yosef thing. But that was like a different Rashi in a different play. That meant that you were able to manage an unbelievable thing. You learned the parasha, learned the Rashi carefully, looked at a thing, right, without coming complaining, hey, Rabbi, you probably made a mistake, because obviously you just asked about the easy Rashi, thinking I'm some like mean old guy who was trying to trick you and get you, and all that. But you actually answered the right answer on the thing. Now, anyone who answered it wrong using Yaakov got the right answer, because that was the right answer. The question was wrong. So really the right answer was that. But just the question was the wrong question. Technically, you also got the right answer if you wrote the Sar, because that is what I wrote on the paper, but that wasn't the real question I had in mind. So either one of them was going to work. But appreciate what it means to have been medactic, right, and even just in something as quote-unquote simple as to have a bekiyas in a Rashi and Chumash, that on a wrong question, so easy it would have been just to like not even looked at it, and just like that. And but really, you know, pick something, that really was very, very, very impressive. Well, certainly to me, and probably, you know, to others as well. But that's an accomplishment. So if you can do things like that, right? If you got not the grades on a test are the biggest of deals in the world, and they're really not, like at all. I was like also the king of bad grades when I was younger. Just like Loch Bali from tests, like in the slightest bit, very anti-establishment, and all that kind of stuff. So school was never like my thing, The Why am I telling you that? I have no idea. But did I have the grades of the beyond on the other thing? But the truth of the matter is the fact that like that the Olam actually really did do well on those bechinos also, and they weren't easy, and they were sugyas again. This time last year, Yisroel weren't holding in all of that, and it means a lot. It's something very, very impressive for you right now, more than ever before, perhaps in your life, or maybe for in comparison to others. The message of realize that you know what you actually can do something. Change our outlook and say instead of being the redneck or the guy from the South Bronx whose like entire life is just destined to be, maybe someday I'll make money in drug trading, and maybe someday I'll be able to buy myself like a really nice pint of beer and like a pickup truck with doors that open. I don't have to slide through the window all the time. And that's like, wow, I really made it in life. And you can say, but you know what? There are things that are out there, aside from that kind of stuff. And yes, like a steak really is nice to eat. And when it costs like $200, that's even like really tastes better. It really does. Like that. Those are things we eat all the time. But if you're into the world of Gashmias, realize, you know what? There's a little bit more that's out there. If you're into the world of Ruchnias, which is what we're holding in, a person has to say to himself, you know what? I know that there's a whole different life out there that I'm able to lead. I don't have to just be that regular guy that's there. When I was growing up, there was always a message that was given in day schools that I think got lost. I tell me if you ever heard this before. I get the distinct impression from the past at least decade of telling me, if not even more than that, maybe even two, that this is not something that you hear about in school anymore. Yeah, so let's try the following thing. When I was growing up in school, and talking about schools like Hank or Hefter on Long Island, if you know what those are, you're going to say those weren't, that's like not even DRS like level of school. And fair to say?
Okay.
Pride, okay, whatever it is. And, certainly not, Chavetz Chaim of this or whatever the place that you had learned in. And maybe soda. But it was a, what do you call it? Like not the greatest of places, but there was always a message I was given over like this. The Rebbeim used to say, anyway, this is at a time when Rebbeim used to be like, maybe I can say things that they're not allowed to talk about anymore. Did I just say it? Yeah, I just said it. Don't put this online. But the idea that was always given over is that if when you set up a school, even like a co-ed day school, if your goal in the school is to try to inspire your kids to become Gedolei Yisrael, might have been great Tamid HaChachamim, then you'll end up in the end with like hopefully pretty good Balabatim. If your goal, what you're trying to push kids to do in school, is to become pretty good Sala Balabatim, at the end you're going to walk out with Ameh Haaretz and they're not going to be where they're holding. So try to push people and turn people on, inspire them to say, but I can actually really shoot for the stars, because a lot of us don't ever make it to the stars when we shoot for those stars. But if you're shooting for the stars, you make the stars, so at least you're pretty high up there in the sky. If you're shooting low, right, then you're going to accomplish less than that. That's something like you have heard like growing up, they still telling you that stuff in school, like become like a Gadol Dor, because otherwise you can just be like a Balabas and like and that. Even like all the people around us like Balabatim, but whatever, we don't talk about them.
Yeah.
Huh? Silver message, good. Okay, so because it's so important, it's not just important to hear, it's important to believe, and then actually try out and go out and and do that. The but once there was a certain Rashiva that I knew. A very, very chashu tamachav, a very, very big person. And so I had heard from him that him and his wife had once had a discussion when one of their older daughters was in, like I guess you call seminary age, of past like the high school, whatever it was. So they had a discussion where they were going to send her. So I'm going to use the English term that they're in Hebrew, that they call them two, this institution is the same, but they, what do you call it, they go by slightly different names. So that The one option was to send to a school in Yerushalayim called, they called it like Michala, right? A nice, but for the Israelis it's like a seminary plus like a school and college and whatever it was that was there. And the other option was the what then was called the Beis Yaakov in Yerushalayim, they call in English the BJJ. But as an Israeli, or at least then had it, was mainly Israeli, and then the two programs became a little bit separate. So this particular Rashiva told me that when they were sitting down discussing, so he gave the following cloud. It was very, very insightful, and really was fascinating. He said, at least they sat down and talked. There's a family. He said, listen, you know, if we send her to what do you call it, you know, to BJJ, so then a lot of people out there in the street are going to say, oh, BJJ, that's like, we're like, well, the Shiva sends, like, their, you know, their kids to them, whatever it is, but they'll be comfortable going to a school like Mechlala, like, even though, like, they might not have, like, pushed to go to, what do you call it, to, you know, to something that was a little bit stronger, maybe more defined in its Ashkavas. So if we send our daughter to Mechlala, then people are going to say, oh, that's like, we're like, oh, though, like, those kind of, like, whatever it is, and we're going to send our kids to, like, a school that's, like, way, you know, way down beneath that, right? Why? Because people have a tendency at times to not look at themselves as big people and out themselves as various forms of Gedolei Yisrael, and then shoot low. So we have to make sure very, very, very carefully to set our standards, you know, very, very, very high. I remember once being on in a program where it was like one of these like growth oriented kinds of things, encouraging, you know, kids and telling them to grow and change and develop. And there's always a message given over that in life you always have to take small steps, right? And if you want to be able to grow properly, you have to, you know, take strong but small, you know, I said that wrong, small but, you know, solid, strong, you know, firm steps to be able to get to where you want to go to. Very, very true advice. So the theme became that, like even just, like, be makabel upon yourself when you bench, you should always bench from a bencher. That's, like, a real thing that you should, like, try to do, and whatever it is, if you do that, that's, like, growth, and that's accomplishment, and the truth is, that's true. I use this to point out to the Talmidim who were released in my shiur, that all of that's true, but let's remember, right, that if a person says, oh, if my aspiration is I'm going to bench out of a bencher, and doesn't remember that I'm really supposed to be saying to myself, I should become a Baki B'Shas, and I should become someone whose davening is out of Shemayim, so you're not going to get to those places. A person can sit back and say, oh, like, you know, I made it, and whatever. Just a small, quick, little story, a personal anecdote, and just to reflect upon some of my own stupidity when I was a child. I remember once hearing some kind of like a talk about like becoming a tzaddik and a gadol, but like a nice, like heavy, strong inspirational message was. And I was, I think it might have been a ninth grade, so this is a ninth grade story, so I was talking a little bit on the younger side, and saying to myself, like, what are they, like, what do you mean, like, what do they want from me, like, I like, these are very like high school back in the day terms. So I apologize if you don't understand. I remember saying to myself, what do you mean? I'm like Shomer Nagi, I dab a mayor with a minion every single night, I wear tzitzis, like what could you possibly want more? Like, what are you talking about, like a tzaddik and this? Like, I'm like the greatest guy like in the world. I'm like that guy like everyone wants to be. And obviously with a little bit more like exposure to the world, you start to realize like that is nice, and that I'm not taking that away, how the fact we should all be doing that. But at the same time, obviously, right, the asagas, what we can accomplish, need to be very, very, very different. We're going to be faced with challenges right now. We're going to be going back for the summer to wherever we're going back to. Homes, camps, schools, ba 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 boom ba boom ba boom ba boom ba boom. In many of those places, if not all of them, I just don't want to sound like I'm being too radical. So I really want to say all of those places, but I will say if many. When I say many, we really mean all. Got the idea? We're good. In many of those places that you're going to be exposed to mediocrity, to a lot of people who are not really pushing themselves as far as they possibly can go, where the air that you breathe is not, let's do more, and let's grow a little bit more, let's accomplish them, let's keep going, right? Resting on laurels, taking it a little bit easy, saying, listen, I've done a lot already. All those things are very, very commonplace, are very, very commonplace in the world. And you got to work hard to keep telling yourselves that I'm not that kind of a guy. I am somebody who, no matter where I am, in summer school, in camp, in work, in an internship, in all the place that we might be, I'm somebody who every single day, yes, is going to be looking to improve. Is it hard to do? Yes, but it doesn't really matter because I know I can, right? I think I can, I think chugga chugga choo choo, all that stuff, right? They teach you a lot of stuff when you're younger that, like, you gotta get the lessons down pat. Like, there's a famous book, right? Everything I Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. You ever read that? Great book. It's really true. Like, all the life lessons that you get when you're in Ghana, and then after that, it's all downhill. And but think back to those little books, right? How powerful if a kid actually believed I can be the little engine that could? Wouldn't that be, like, cool if, like, you thought that I was that little engine that can do, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, being overly simple here?
Yeah,
right?
Kid,
but, what?
They do. They just got, people just got discouraged at the time. It's true.
Yes, yeah, so then what happens?
What?
Then what happens?
People get set back by failure.
And what's the difference between the winners and the losers? The winner says, I just don't care. Shut up and I'm going to keep going. Right? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. We're referring back to a Rambo movie, another one of the blood and guts things that I love. So in, what are we looking at?
He didn't know.
You know what Rambo is. Okay, Rambo's also a book, by the way. It's also in book form. I don't think I have it anymore, but I actually asked my wife. When we asked somebody after we got married, I wanted to show like what good literature was. I said, hey, you want to read this? This is like, really good. No, like whatever. Okay, so I don't remember all the details of, I don't remember people's names or whatever it was. I don't know if they had names, they just grunted or like they had like noises. And so like one of the guy, the army guy, tells Rambo, who was like more like what I was like, not the most intellectual people, like said to, no, Rambo said back to the guy, like this is like, it was a great thing. Said, when you get a bullet in the side, right, you taught me that if you get shot in the side, you just keep on going. Like there's no, like, in the real world, especially in that real world, if you get shot and you just didn't cry about it, so then you get shot 1,000 more times and you just, like, you know, mincemeat and then it's over. In the real world, if people are going to be doers and accomplishers, you say, I got a setback, I failed at something, and like, so what? Like, why does it matter, right? I'm going to just keep on going and try again. I think I mentioned to many of you, many of you a number of times, or to none of you, many, some, so whatever, something. We might have said sometime in the past that, but I think it's such a beautiful example. True, so we all know the famous, what they call it, you know, organization that's changed the world called Eisha Torah, right? Big Kirov-like thing. We've all certainly seen the big, wonderful, multi-million dollar campus that they have in the Old City. Someone once tried to sell Yishrei a corner somewhere in the Old City. I won't tell you where you can go figure out which one it was, but corners in the Old City, like not the nicest, not the greatest locations, not the whatever it was, but $22 million, like a little something. That's like a lot of money. Like, no, sorry, we're not going to do that, and this is looking really fine right now, and whatever it was. But you can imagine how much it cost, like basically to buy the base of Mikdash, right, and build a yeshiva there. That's like, right? That's pretty, you know, close to, what do you call it, to the Har HaBayis. And the Noach Weinberger, who was a very a dynamic person, Imam Shek, a guy got up and did something that changed like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Right? I think we know what it is. I don't have to describe. Right? Many of us aren't familiar with the fact that there were 7 attempts before Eisha Torah was opened that he himself had tried to make yeshivas that failed, that didn't work, had to close within a year, 2 years. And he himself had said later in life, he goes, and had I just been like a regular, I would have, like, you know, maybe after 3 times or 4 times I'd gotten the message that, hey, maybe this is not going to work, and like, just like, stop already, just, you know, whatever it is, and either become a regular yeshiva, or just go out and be a lawyer. But he said, but no, like, and that's such an incredible lesson for a person to, you know, to learn. Failure is not meant to discourage you. It's meant to separate the proverbial men from the proverbial boys, right? And that's all it is. What was Rabbi Gedalia Finkel? Do you remember what he said at the beginning of the year when he spoke about his brother? I don't remember either, but I remember it was a good line. He said something to say things. Yeah, that was the one. But you don't remember. So hold on a second. Now I'm on the spot. Something along the lines of, I'm going to start you off. Some people take failure and make it an opportunity. Other people take... Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. The opportunity to fail? Like, I don't know what it was. But it was a, okay, but the line that...
The point was the important point, though.
Yeah, in terms of more opportunity to failure.
Other people turn failure into an opportunity.
Right? You can be a redneck or hillbilly? You said the same thing twice.
Slightly different.
That was too deep. No, it wasn't so deep. It was like just like a straightforward.
Yeah, an opportunity to like change. Never they fail. But other people, they see their failure as an opportunity for change.
Well, you got the idea. In other words, there's no. Thank you, Mick. Right? There's no real reason why a failure has to hold somebody back. It's exactly like what we start off saying. It's all totally in a person's hashkafa on himself. How do I view myself? How do I look at myself? When the person who's the usher says, whoa, I had a really bad day, $25 million down, but that's okay because I can make that back, and I'm going to push myself and really be, you know, dedicated and driven and motivated because of that. That then is going to end up happening, right? Maybe not everything back, but you'll get somewhere. The person who says, "Oh, well, I guess whatever," so then that's the guy who's not really going to get all that far. Once again, we have to keep on reminding ourselves. When we look around, when we see people around us, it's a very important thing in the world. I'm going to try to say this clearly. If it's not clear and you don't follow what I mean, please ask about this. It's a very important thing. It's like one of my shittas in the world. Very, very healthy, very important, really, really important, really, really healthy to learn how to look down on other people. Whoa, did you just say that? We have to love everybody. Everyone's great. Jews are wonderful. Holy brother and all that, right? That's all true. Right? All Jews, like we say in Hebrew, you go to, right, Achia Tzadik, whatever, everyone, Amech Kulam Tzadik, everyone's great, everyone's beautiful. At the same time, with all of that greatness and all that beautifulness that's there in potential waiting to come out, you have to be able to say, but you know what, I realize that there's also a lot of missed opportunities. There is a lot of failure. There is a lot of people not getting where they can be. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be someone who's going to be surpassing others. I want to be driven. You learned this in Mesillas Yesharim, right? Remember we spoke about how kina is an important motivating factor to get you, right? Like we like winning races. We like winning things, right? So get out there and say, I'm going to be a winner. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to go further than anybody else. And don't be complacent. And don't just say, I'm going to be one of these, you know, these people. It's going to happen during your davening. You're going to get back to a minyan. Shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. It's not going to be the same speed that you used to from yeshiva, and you can fall into a rut where you say, oh, so mincha can take, you know, what we in yeshiva used to take for ashrei, so it can be done with the entire Shmon Esrei, and I can boom, and it's, you know, moving on. I find, when I travel around in schools, I try to daven very, very fast, and that's the worst, like the day after a mincha in a high school, and I get, like, the card, you know, like, the mincha card, and, like, the classroom, one of those, like, setups. And I try my hardest, like, because you don't want to, like, miss everything. You also want to get stuck when, like, the teacher comes in for the next class and they're still davening, except, like, oh, he's, like, bad. And they try my hardest, like, davening fast and whatever. And somehow or another, like, I can, like, not even be up to Mechaim Mason. Like, and they're, like, done. Everyone's walking out of the room. Like, I really thought I was going fast. Like, I was really trying to rush. I remember once I was in a shul, there was a pretty yeshivish shul, somewhere in Los Angeles, with a very chashev rav, a very, very big Talmid Chacham, and someone was like really, really well known, and this is like, from my understanding, this is like the shul in, I'm just probably saying this a bit, but no one from Los Angeles. Anyway, so like this is like the shul, like the frummy, like, you know, shul in Los Angeles. So when I was in Avails, my father's in front of the Rafa, one of the things, where, you know, you have to, like, you know, you say Kaddish and you're supposed to try to daven for the Amid if you can. And so I walked into the shul not really knowing anybody, and I'm like, hey, is there anyway, is there a chiyuv? Can I daven for the Amid? Which is like embarrassing in of itself to like raise your hand and have to do that. And fine, go up there and whatever else. I don't even think it was like by Abbas Olin, the second bracha was like davening Meir. Already I'm getting like, you know, whoa, like, what just happened? I'm saying this, like, you guys are supposed to be from, everyone's like, whatever, he's like the from side of LA, and I thought I was going fast, like, you know, a shul, okay, you gotta move, and I'm not gonna dive in slowly, whatever it was, like, whoa, this is like crazy. And so you're going to be challenged with the idea that davening is going to be quick and things are not going to be with kavanah, but it's so hard for a person to say, right, I don't really care. I'm going to work on myself. My davening is going to be meaningful. I'm going to invest something in it. I'm going to try to have a sense of dveikus and meaning and focus during a davening. My Shabbos is going to be on a higher level than it was and than others around me. My learning is still going to exist. My strengthening, my emuni is going to be there. Yes, I'm going to try hard not to speak lashon hara. I'm going to try hard to be about midos in ways that maybe others aren't. Are totally doing. If a person has that kind of hashkafa about himself, I'm the usher who really can be that multi-billionaire in the world, not in a physical sense, but in a ruchnius kind of a sense, then already we have a lot of hope. But that idea of attitude and the importance of having a strong and positive attitude can be understated. With no further ado, we're going to call this cycle of Chovas Hamidim to a close. Now you realize that we're not done. So, what that means is, now I'm not as good as Ray Kenningsbury. Ray Kenningsbury is absolutely amazing. I'm reading this sign saying, units of Mesillas Yesharim, we can all get it in emails and we can keep learning Musar. That's absolutely, absolutely amazing. Everyone should take that opportunity and really do it. It's great. What was that?
Yeah, there's three that we did.
What was that?
Three probably.
I can't count. Does it go up that high?
No, the one that we skipped and then it goes up to 13.
So I have no idea. Fine. So that many. Some of them are longer than the others. And then, of course, you have all the stuff in the back. But you definitely should be making it a priority over the summer to try to be finishing up the Chovas HaTamid. And then to learn it again and again and again and again. Rear is, I think I said this at the beginning of the year, rear is the safer that that really like just like speaks very, very to the point, right in your face, tells you the way it is, tries to, you know, set a site, you know, for yourself to be able to grow to, and talks really directly to you. It's something that's kedai, really kedai, to try to finish up, and Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to live up to all these sites that are being set for us, and that is all for now. If you're in my shoe, please follow me.